to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the second half of this edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Thank you guys so much for listening. We are welcoming your phone calls on the topic of, is your match made in heaven or hell? Give us a call, 855-454-5905. We were in the midst of a conversation with Debbie out of Philadelphia. We're going to return to that conversation at this time. Debbie, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, Debbie, great. Thank you so much for your patience. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. Here on Praise Your Inspiration Station, I am your host, Marcos Mercado, and we're having a great conversation with Debbie, who's saying that after 14 years, she feels like, you know, things are not going in a great direction. Her relationship with God is being affected because of her marriage, and she's wondering, does she go or does she stay? Now, a few questions I need to ask you, Debbie, is do you feel like you're in danger, like physically?
No, I'm not in danger. He's not abusive. The level of abuse sometimes I feel, because I grew up in a house where physical abuse in my home now, and verbal abuse. So I'm not able to, like, really separate the two, but I know what physical is. He doesn't hit me or anything.
Okay.
But it's just the verbal part. You know, that I'm used to hearing all the cursing when I was growing up, and I'm not geared into hearing that right now.
Abuse is when someone
starts a conversation with me like that, I shut down totally.
I hear you. And you know what? It's one of those things you got to ask yourself, wait a minute. Am I in danger? And if it's no, but if it's affecting you in your life. And so a few things to be mindful of, Debbie. I think number one, you know, the Bible says above all things, guard your heart, for it is the wellness of life, meaning that you need to be able to protect your heart. So if your relationship with God is being affected because of your marriage, you got to figure out, okay, how can I protect that, you know, if it's drawing you further and further from God? And so 1 Corinthians 7, there's a lot of great advice there, but some of it is advice that Paul gives, and other things are very specific that comes directly from God. And so in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 7, I want to read this part to you. It says, to the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. All right. So it's real clear. This is not just a suggestion. And it says the wife must not separate from her husband. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband must not divorce his wife. OK, so here out of everything else, the focus I want us to have here is that God wants you to be by your husband's side, and he is your husband, and that's it. There's no other. Now, if for some reason you feel like it's better to be alone than to be in this marriage, then the command from God is that then you remain by yourself for the rest of your life, or be reconciled to him. Like, there's no other way. And I think the reason this, and I make this so clear, is that I'm not saying this is you, Debbie, but I know there are a lot of women in similar situations, and what they really want is they want a way out so that they can meet someone else. That's not what this is saying. And I don't believe that's your heart, but you're trying to figure out, okay, what do? Do you go? Do you stay? That's a choice only you can make, but understand the seriousness of that choice, that it's either you stay with him or you stay by yourself for the rest of your life.
But my only question is with that is that if I'm going to stay with him, then I'm trusting and believing that God is going to do what he said he's going to do.
Which is what?
I know his time is not my time, and I know the word says a sanctified wife sanctifies her husband. Mm-hmm. Okay, but my husband seems to feel like he's already following the will of God. I went to counseling because I was having a problem with the whole situation. The counseling did help me, but farther on in the conversation, I mean, in our relationship, it's like he's trying to push everything on me, that I'm the fault because this, I'm this and that and the other. And then secondly, I have family members that are very critical, but their marriages are like falling apart too.
Sure, sure. And everybody has an opinion, right? But they can't make it work for them. But my question, Debbie, is so what is the issue? Like, do you you hope that by staying in the marriage, your husband is going to see that there are some things he needs to change, even though he doesn't see that now?
That's what I was hoping and praying that God would show him, but then also show me my mistakes as well, so I can do better, or I can look at this situation
Debbie,
I want to be continue to be into it.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What do you feel like you need to do better? What do you see in you?
To be honest with you, my husband is a good person, but I don't think we are good together because, I mean, I'm a few years older, but he just feels like I have nothing to show him or teach him.
What is it that you, for you, not your husband, this is about you. What do you feel like you need to do differently?
The scripture that you just read to me, mm-hmm. and I am true to the scripture, I have no other choice because I know God honors marriages. But
sure.
The scripture that you read to me, I don't want to separate from him and be alone. I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life.
So then you live with him. But here's the thing, Debbie.
Okay.
You stay with your husband and you can't change him. Now, you pray, you can be hopeful, you can be prayerful, but at the end of the day, you make sure you're doing what you need to do before God, no matter what. Because the day you face God is going to be you and God alone.
Right.
Your husband won't be there, your mama won't be there, no one's going to be there, just you and God. And guess what? You're going to have to give an account, and you can't blame anyone else. And so in this situation, I believe this is an opportunity for you to be the best wife, the best Christian that you can be, and that this is a test for you. Regardless of how your husband is, unless you're in danger, I would say. Other than that, I would say, listen, make sure you do your part and you love your husband, whether you believe he deserves it or not, because the Bible says in Ephesians, you submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You don't submit because he's such a nice guy or such a good guy, even though you say he's a good guy. You submit to him because of your love for Christ, and hopefully God will use that to help him to see it. But that's not up to you. God will use you how he wants. You just make sure you stay righteous.
Okay. Well, I do understand that part. And then my family is in my ear. You should leave him. You should leave him. You should leave. But the reason why they're saying, because he does not, he's not around them. He doesn't associate with them. And
okay.
Frankly, he doesn't want me to be over there because he says that mm-hmm. I'm bringing too much negative energy from my family back into my home.
That is another topic. I don't know if we can get into that right now, to be honest with you, because I would have to ask you a ton of questions.
Okay.
One thing I would suggest, Debbie, out of everything else, is it sounds like you and your husband need to sit down and get counseling together.
He won't do that.
All right. Then you know what? Then again, all you could do is work on you.
Okay.
But if you know that there are people, including family members, that are not going to help your marriage and help you, then you need to make sure you surround yourselves with people who will. And the key, you said it to yourself earlier. You said it out loud. You said some people that are giving you the advice, they don't have great marriages themselves. You need to look for some great examples of relationships that you can say, I want what they have, and how do they get that? And that's how you can learn from those.
Okay.
All right, Debbie, thank you. We really appreciate it.
And
call us back. Let us know how things are going. You know, give us an update.
All right. Thank you for the advice.
No problem, Debbie. You have a blessed day.
You too.
All right. Take care. Hey, we are going to be taking a break in a few minutes, but we wanted to remind you that today's topic is a match made in heaven or hell. Where does your relationship sit on that side of the equation? Let us know. 855-454-5905. Let's go to Natasha calling in from Delaware. Natasha, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, Natasha, you were there last night, right, where we had the conversation with all the singles. You were one of the there were single men and women, but you happened to be there. So what is your comment or question for us today as you've been hearing our discussion today?
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm going to steer off track, but I just wanted to thank you, one, for last night's conversation and even for today. And the concept of limerence just really struck me last night in thinking about that there's hope that, you know, having this emotion and having this feeling that's kind of like takes control that it actually doesn't have to. And I was thinking about, you know, I feel like girls in particular have this Disney princess concept, and that like you find your true love, and then that's the, your one and only soulmate, and it's all based on following your heart. But how, I mean, I'm a science-minded person, but how it can be broken down to like, no, it's like an infatuation, or it's this tangible concept that, I don't know, I think you said last night, lasts at max 36 months or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the scientists believe, that feeling of being madly in love, that limerence, it doesn't last more than 3 years.
Yeah, and to me that was like mind-blowing, because I'm like, well, I guess that's the essence of what your show is about, like marriage beyond that 36 months, or the vows you made when you were in that, I don't know, euphoria of limerence. And that I'm a single person. I've been a Christian for 11 years Sunday. And
congratulations.
Thank you. In this area, it's a struggle because I haven't been married in 11 years, despite a lot of attention, I guess, from people that weren't meeting the standard. Mm. Not to say that I'm perfect in this area, because I definitely haven't, but I think the places that I've fallen short has been specifically attached to the concept of limerence, and that, I don't know, I kind of felt like, no, this is it, and this is the one true love, and whatever, and thinking, well, gosh, no, like, how did I become so out of tune with hearing the Holy Spirit that I believe this, you know?
Absolutely. And we're going to talk more about that. And also what we're going to do, Natasha, is we're going to, and I've been promising this, we're going to share some of the you helped this, right? Some of the lists that you helped put together, you know, compile this list of absolutes and non-negotiables, you know, things that must have. So stay on the line. We'll be right back. Everyone else, this is an opportunity for you to call in. We still have a little bit of time before the show is over, but we're going to take a break.
That's right. So you can call us at 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. We're now in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Thank you so much for listening. We are talking about a match made in heaven or hell. Where is your relationship? Give us a call, 855-454-5905. We were speaking with Natasha before the break. We're going to rejoin that conversation now. Natasha, are you there?
I am.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your patience. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. And Natasha was one of many singles that were with me last night. We were having a group together. I was sharing some things. My wife and I were with a group of singles, and we came up with a list of 10 non-negotiables, a list of 10 things that these singles, I mean, my wife and I didn't have anything to do with this. We just kind of gathered the information. And Natasha, you obviously contributed to this, so I'm going to read these right away really quickly. Number one, consistency. You guys felt like you want someone that's always there. In a relationship, someone that's there, someone that has integrity. Number two, someone that has integrity, that they what they say they do, they follow through. Number three, that they value you, that the relationship is not one-sided. Number four, the sense of adventure, someone that's willing to do something, that has that's spontaneous. Number five, you feel well, this one was interesting, right? Because the young lady that was sharing this, like when she feels some type of way, she wants to know that she has support and that the person is going to be there to help in the situation. Number six, someone that tries to helps you to grow and get out of your comfort zone. Number seven, someone that would understand you. not dismiss you right away, but really try to understand. Number eight, someone who's honest and trustworthy, no secrets. Number nine, a true friendship. The difference between quality and quantity in terms of time. And then the last but not least, respect. Respect was also very important. Now, I say these, but I also, we didn't state that most obvious one of, you know, which we already, you know, that was the assumption was made that, you know, if we're Christians, the person needs to love God. And that's absolutely a non-negotiable on that list. But then these 10 other things that we came up with. Now, Natasha, one of the things that we discussed was the fact that although many, many folks, many people might have, whether it's a written list or something written in their hearts, when they feel like they fall in love, sometimes that list goes out the window.
Right.
So I know that that stuck with you and you know, that whole discussion of limerence.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think when I thought about why would somebody throw away their value set, the only thing that came to mind, which I shared last night, was that a person's heart is going to trump their mind and their logic. And I guess it comes down to this idea of limerence, that if you're so blinded by this strong emotion, and not that it should be disregarded, I mean, I think emotions serve a purpose, but if it's not allowing you to think clearly, then it's totally possible that a person can say, well, you know, I see this, or I hear this from my family, or my friends are all unanimous about this person, but I know them better, or but we have our good days, or but, you know, making excuses or justifying some of the things that you maybe never wanted to compromise on, but you find yourself doing.
And what I realized, Natasha, too, is that there's something wrong when you're trying to convince yourself that this is not the case. And, you know, we've had and quite a few of our callers have been kind of in response to one of our previous callers, Andrea, who is considering marrying someone that's abusive. And everyone's like, what will you do that? Like, no, you know, her mom said that the guy is dangerous. Her adult children don't like the guy. And she deep down inside knows she's not safe, doesn't feel safe, but is trying to convince herself. And that's a scary place to be. And I think most importantly, we need to make sure we have a set of standards. And I think as Christians, the beauty of it is that we don't have to be dictated by our emotions, that the Bible should be the standard. And if you know what love is based on the scriptures and that person is not offering you that biblical love, then why would you want that in the first place?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I love that God says that that he always provides a way out. Mm-hmm. And that I love that that you can hear the Spirit, that you can be trained and guided by the Spirit. And one of the things that I've been trying to do recently, well, not so recently, but in the last few months, is really making sure that I take every decision to God, and that I sit and listen so that I'm not making all the decisions and then relying on myself. And then I'm also training my ear to hear, so that when it comes down to big decisions, you know, like, is this the person for me? Is this what I should do with my life, et cetera? I'm not out of shape in terms of listening for
great.
The Spirit.
Well, good
and
stuff.
And I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say good stuff. That's great training. And that's going to help you, you know, not. And I don't think it's only with marriage. It's just that marriage is such a big deal, right? Because it's permanent. It's not like, okay, you know, this didn't work out, let me move on. I mean, although that's the way the world treats it, as Christians, we know that marriage is very serious in the eyes of God. And it's something that, you know, you just have really one shot at it. It's not like, oh, it didn't work out. Even something big like purchasing a home is something that, at the most, you could be stuck with maybe 30 years. But a marriage is forever.
Right.
Or at least it's supposed to be forever, right? But Natasha, I want to say thank you. Great conversation. I really do appreciate you picking up the phone. And thank you so much even for the input you gave last night. I think singles that got together, we had a great time with you guys.
Thanks. It was really great. Can I just add that Hebrews 5:14 is super encouraging for me in this area. And so check that out.
All right, Hebrews 5:14. Well, thank you, Natasha.
Yeah,
thank you. Have a blessed day.
All right, take care. We're Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. We have Mrs. Shadding I believe I said it right. I hope I said it right. Please forgive me if I did not. Calling in on line 2 from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Did I say it correctly?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yes, awesome. You did.
Sorry about that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A couple of things that I heard. I was married to my children's father. My girls are grown now. I never knew that if me and him was to divorce or separate, that I supposed to remain by myself. I never knew that.
Okay. Well, you learned something. There you go.
I really learned something, but I remarried now.
Okay.
And I'm in a position where I'm lost because I do fear the wrath of God, and I don't know what to do.
You know, that's a great point. And I've had this conversation before, even with like pastors. I've known pastors who deep down inside they feel conflicted because they know that maybe they remarried and they're like, did I do wrong? What do you do now? How do you undo it? I mean, this is something that actually gets discussed and debated quite often. So let me get this straight. Ms. Shading, right?
Yes.
All right. So you were married, got divorced, and you remarried someone else, right? Not, you didn't reconcile to your spouse. You remarried someone else, and now you feel conflicted. Like, you know, is God going to judge you? And is this marriage okay now because it wasn't your first marriage?
Right. That's one problem I have.
Okay. What's the other marriage, so that we can see if we can?
The other one is he's an addict.
Okay. Addicted to what? To drugs?
I divorced the first husband.
Drugs?
Yes.
Okay.
And alcohol.
Okay. And this is the same reason you said you divorced your first husband, but your second husband has this as well.
Yes.
Wow.
But something different.
Different drug, but the same kind of right. behavior. Destructive right. behavior, basically.
Right. We married 2005. I had lost my job. I don't know what happened to me. I used to be so strong. I don't know what happened to me. I feel like his mother. I feel like his caretaker. I feel lost.
Mm.
And I know in my heart God wants me to succeed in this marriage, but it don't feel like a marriage. And I don't know what to do.
Wow, you know what?
There's no intimacy. We got married 2005. Uh-huh. There has been no intimacy since then. I didn't find out what he was doing until after I married him. The first 5 years we was together. The next 2 years is when we got married, which was 2005.
Okay. Well, Ms. Sadie, let me tackle one thing at a time, and let's go backwards here. So let's start with the fact that you are now in a relationship. You're married to someone who is addicted to drugs and they have destructive behavior. Are you familiar with the cycle that you go through when you are codependent and you are actually with someone has this destructive behavior? It's a cycle that, and when I share it with you, if you've never heard it before, it might help you to kind of analyze where you are in the cycle. Okay, so the first one is a 3-part cycle. And you go through the first stage, and the order doesn't necessarily matter as much as you will go through these 3 things. Sometimes quickly, sometimes it takes a little while. But the first part is you would be a rescuer. That you, because you're with someone that has destructive behavior, you feel like you have to help them, like you have to rescue them.
Right.
And so you go ahead, and this happens especially with someone who's addicted to drugs. It could be other addictions, but mainly drugs and alcohol, because the behavior is so overwhelmingly destructive that you feel like, oh my goodness, they can't help themselves. I got to help them. And you become this rescuer. However,
right.
in the relationship, being that rescuer doesn't always work. And so then all of a sudden, that person might resent you and they start persecuting you. So you become a rescuer and then you become persecuted. And it's like, my goodness, you know, I'm trying to help you, but you're trying to hurt me. So you get persecuted. And then because of that anger that builds up, because you tried to help them and they persecute you, then you become the actual persecutor. Then you start wanting to hurt them back and saying, listen, and then it goes on and on. But
I find myself saying certain things like, I didn't get married for this. I've been through this cycle already. I'll help you get into a program. You still...
Then you become... That's being the persecutor now, because you resent the fact that you did so much and he won't change and he's hurt you back. And now you feel like, listen, I didn't sign up for this. But it only lasts but so long. Then let's say he gets into some kind of binge or he gets himself in trouble, and then you feel like you have to rescue him again. And then the cycle goes on and on. And let me share something with you, Mrs. Shading. You have to realize that although you're not the one using and abusing the drugs, you're in it, and you're just as guilty because...
Right, and that's where my problem comes in at. With being married and not knowing what to do.
And you know what? You can't have a make sense of a dysfunctional situation. It just won't make sense. The only way it would make sense, Mrs. Shading, is if your husband were to go through a rehab and get himself clean, and even then it won't be functional, and then start dealing with the real issues. See, as long as he's medicating these issues, it's going to remain destructive. And as long as you enable him to do this, and what I mean by this, and look, we don't have time to get all into it, but okay. what happens is, you know, if he's not working, but you provide for him, or he should be homeless, but you pay the bills so he can still have a home to live. Like, as long as you still enable him, he would never hit bottom, and he would still keep using. And so then, you know, and you're stuck in this vicious cycle. And my biggest thing is that scripture that I shared with you, 1 Corinthians 7, for you, in this case, it's better for you to be without your husband, and let me finish. And hopefully he gets to the place where you can reconcile, but you will only reconcile once he's clean and willing to get help. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, what were you going to say?
Yes, that's what I've been trying to do for the last couple of months, trying to move on into an apartment or something so I can be by myself, because it's mentally bothering me and my health.
Okay. So what are you waiting for? If you know what you need to do, why haven't you done it?
I can't afford it.
But who's paying where you live now?
He pays the rent and I pay the utilities.
Okay, so you couldn't find yourself a place that just you could afford? You don't have family members you can perhaps live with for a little while?
I have one daughter with me.
Okay. And she lives with you?
Yeah, she lives with me.
She's an adult?
She's an adult.
Okay, and she can't help you? The both of you together can't get an apartment? Does she work?
She just started back working because she had hurt her ankle. Mm-hmm. This is what my plans are to do.
You know what I think, Ms. Shading, what I'm hearing, and again, I could be wrong, we only have a small window here. It sounds like you have a serious issue with enabling people.
I've always been a caretaker.
And you know what? You're probably, and again, this is just you're probably one of the nicest people you will ever meet. I'm sure people tell you this all the time. You're probably
all the time.
Really nice.
A lot of sisters, my family.
Yeah, and you know what?
People that knows him.
Yeah.
You're a better woman than I am, because I would have been left.
Absolutely, but you're probably so nice. But you know what? You don't have the boundaries that you need. I'm going to recommend a book to you, and I think it's going to help you a ton. I've recommended it many times. It's called...
Let me write it down. Wait a minute.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, go ahead.
It's called Safe People. Safe People.
Safe.
S-A-F-E. Safe People. And it's by a guy named Dr. Henry Cloud.
Dr. Henry Cloud?
Cloud. C-L-O-U-D.
Okay.
Safe People, I tell you, because that's the problem. And what I believe is you're thinking so much about others, but you're not taking care of yourselves. It's like the analogy that we give about being on an airplane, you know, when the oxygen mask comes down.
Yes.
The whole premise of it is, listen, you got to make sure you put the oxygen mask on yourself first, because if you try to put it on a child, then you'll pass out and you both won't have oxygen. But your instinct is to want to help others first. But if you don't take care of you, you won't be able to take care of anybody else. But you've been putting other people first, your husband's needs before yours, your child, this. And you know what? You got to stop that. Stop that cycle. And don't just think of it like doing it for you. think of it as you're doing it for God, and God wants you to do it for you so that you can be your best for him.
Okay, and, you know, the main reason why I never left and moved on, you know, up to this date,
why?
Because I feared God. I didn't know what the right thing was to do.
You didn't think you could leave.
Right.
Okay, well, now you know. The Bible gives you that way out. However, you need to understand, Miss Sading, that this is only... If it's either be by yourself or reconcile to your husband, this is not so that you can go meet some other guy.
Right. That's not my intention.
I know. I believe that. But I'm just saying, make sure you're clear about that because, okay. You know, sometimes people move on and they're like, all right, I don't want that relationship anymore. I want a new relationship. And it's like, that's not what the intention of that scripture is.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Shading. We really do appreciate you calling in.
Thank you for helping me.
And please, call us in a few weeks, in a few months. Let us know how things are going.
Definitely will.
All right. You have a blessed day.
God bless you, and thank you so much.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sorry about that. Let's go to Erica calling in from New Jersey. She's on line 5. Good morning, Erica. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We're doing great. We're having a great conversation here. I believe you mentioned to our producer that you... want to know, just like, when do you leave a situation?
Well, actually, yes. My question was actually in reference to Debbie's question. My situation is just a little bit different, and I'm calling. I wasn't even going to call, but God just urged me to just call, so I'm calling.
Thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. God revealed to me my ministry is in deliverance, okay? So I know I can't really talk about my marriage issues with anybody because it's so complex, you know.
Okay.
I would sound crazy, you know. So God showed me just recently that my husband has some ancestry curses within his background.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been like some demonic forces. I understand now why my husband's been acting. We've been married for a year, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I see now why, you know, a lot of things that he's been doing, God revealed that to me, you know, that he has these pretty much demonic forces following him around, and he doesn't act the same. I mean, my husband is completely different. And just recently, I mean, within the past 3 months, like, you know, he was saved, and, you know, we've gone to church, baptized, everything. He said, I'm done with God, you know, that was it. And for a while, like, I prayed about it, and God had me covering him. I mean, I've seen things that nobody at 28 should have seen before ever. And I'm praying on his behalf. But now, just recently, I would say last night, God woke me up out my sleep. I mean, like, I've already been going through a lot, you know, within, like, this battling things. You know, we are in a battle, you know, so I've been fighting. And God woke me up out my sleep, and he was in the bathroom. I caught him talking to a female.
Okay.
And, you know, and I said, okay, you know, I left the house immediately because I said, God, now this is getting a little bit too much and a little bit too deep for me. Now, when I prayed, God showed me a dream. Now, in that dream, it was him. He showed me the ancestry curses, and then he showed him lunging at me, trying to kill me.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, now this has, you know, at first I was able to fight his battles for him. But now I feel like I feel God is saying to me, this is, you know, he doesn't want this anymore. You know, he's taken it to a whole nother different level. Now it's like an attack against you. So I think God is removing me from the situation. I know I shouldn't question God, but this is such a huge move in my life. It's just like, God, what do you want me to do?
Okay.
Because now I see, you know.
All right. Well, a few things. I mean, number one, Erica, we thank you so much for calling in. And there's a lot you have there. Unfortunately, we won't be able to get all into everything you're sharing. But I do want to address the part of you're saying you caught him, you know, talking to some other woman on the phone late at night. Did you confront him yet?
No, I left immediately.
So he doesn't know that you know, or you think he kind of gets the hint because you weren't there?
Well, here's the thing. He thought I was sound asleep. God woke me up. I was sound asleep.
Okay.
And then I left. so because I wasn't sure. You know, it was just like I'm, you know, at first I got a little fleshy, you know, because it was like I'm fighting the battles. I'm here with you through thick and thin, you know what I mean? I'm
Of course. Yeah, I mean you've been by his side in his corner, and this is how he repays you. He's you know, having some kind of inappropriate relationship or something is going on with some other woman.
Correct.
All right, so you got that. So you left the house. Do you plan to have a conversation with him and confront him on this?
Well, that was it. That's what I'm saying. That was in part of the dream when I did confront him. That's when he lunged at me. So I was trying
to. So have the conversation in a public place.
Okay. All right.
Say, hey, let's grab some coffee. Because here's the thing: you're both, you know, you're both adults. You've been by his side. You've talked about, you know, the different things that you felt like you had done just to support him, but you feel absolutely betrayed, and you should, because instead of him appreciating that you love him and you're by his side, he's being unfaithful or whatever's going on. Something that's not right is happening. But my encouragement to you is the first thing is make sure you talk to him
okay. And
you have communication. But if you don't feel safe, please have it in a public place. So that you're not just alone in the house and you feel like he'll come after you. So that would be my advice to you, Erica. And then number two is if he doesn't come clean or he's lying, you know what you heard. You know, don't believe the lie. You know, expect repentance. Expect, you know, some honesty going on in the relationship for there to be any hope of it being salvaged.
Okay.
All right. Well, Erica, we thank you. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate you picking up the phone and talking to us.
Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
All right. You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
We are Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Are you a match made in heaven or hell? Looking forward to your response, 855-454-5905. Let's go to Elisa calling in from the Pennsylvania area. Elisa, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, is this the Elisa that was with us last night?
Yes, it is.
And she helped compile this list. And then she also said that she doesn't get up that early to talk.
Yes, it is. I actually woke up at 8:30, so I've been listening every
day. Wow, good for you. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows, and I'm your host, Marcos Mercado. And last night, I met with a group of singles. And they were sharing some things. We were talking about relationships. We were just having some honest conversation about relationships. Elisa, who's just called in, she was part of that group. And you helped put together a whole list of things that we would say were non-negotiables, things that you must have in a person, in a relationship, in order for it to, you know, be successful.
Yep.
All right. So what was it? What was the comment you made? I know you had, remember, you were very talkative last night.
I definitely wanted to call in and just share what I spoke about just because I think it would benefit a lot of people. My whole issue and question was with the list that we made, you know, we talked a lot about compromising, and a lot of the things that we wrote on that list are things that people actually end up compromising about. And so by the end of our conversation, I was a little confused as to where the line is, like whether there are things that are non-negotiable, or are there things that you should be compromising on? And that was my whole issue, because I know for myself, I have some friends that are, you know, they're like, you're too picky, your standards are too high. And then after last night talking to some singles, realizing actually, no, you know, it's good to have your standards and you should set them higher. So
that's good. And let me make this comment. I was very impressed. I don't think anything that was shared was superficial. Like there was nothing there about, yeah. And let's be real. I mean, looks matter. Like people say, looks don't matter. Looks matter, right? But
yeah. But
I think we went beyond that. We were like, all right, let's say the attraction is there, or you're trying to, you know, overlook some things maybe physically. But these are the things that really matter. Like more than the physical, I don't think that any woman there, I mean, it was mixed, it was men and women, but I don't think anyone said, you know, he better have a good job, a nice car, he better, I only want him to have 6% body fat, none of that stuff, right? It was like very, very deep character traits that we were like, and I'm going to go through this list again. And for those just tuning in, I'm going to read the list, but we're also going to post it on our Facebook page. So if you've not done this already, we do invite you to visit our Facebook page, like our page, facebook.com/beyondthevows. So Lisa, I'm going to read them real quick. The first one you guys helped put together, the first thing, and the order, it doesn't matter. It was just, you know, we just kind of had this collaborative effort here. But the first one is consistency. Someone that's always there, like they're accessible, they're consistent, you know, not someone that you're trying to go after and they're not available. So that's number one. Number two was integrity. Someone that has integrity, that they say something, they mean it, they follow through. Number three was knowing that you're valued. That it's not just one-sided where you value them, but they don't value you. Someone that, that they value you. Number four was a sense of adventure. You know, this one came up, was interesting, and we had quite a bit of a conversation about it. But someone who's willing to do things with you that they won't hold you back. If you, you know, if you want to go, I think we said skydiving, they'll be willing to go with you. If you like roller coasters, they want to go with you, that type of thing. Number five, you feel, if you felt some type of way, we were joking about this one, but if you feel some type of way, listen to you, but let you know if you're wrong, point those things out. So someone that's willing to help you through situations. Number six, someone that tries to get you out of your comfort zone, that they push you and they help you to be better. Number seven, someone that, oh, no, this is number six, I'm sorry, someone that understands you. Because it's very important that they don't dismiss you, but they really understand you. Number eight, someone that is honest and that they can be trustworthy. There are no secrets in the relationship. Number nine, a friendship, someone that truly has, you know, have a friendship. And we talked about the difference between just having quality versus quantity time, that they both are very important. And then last but not least, respect, someone that will respect you. And I, Lisa, I think actually you came up with that one about respect.
Yeah.
Okay, and what did you mean by that when you're saying someone that respects you? What do you mean by respect?
You know, I think that that was something that was important to me because I the only marriage that I see in, as an example is my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And respect was definitely something that was lacking for a very long time. And seeing the whole the situation before there was, you know, when there was no respect and when there was respect is such a huge difference. And that was something that I was like, you know what? I want that in my dating or relationship.
So you've been able to witness, you know, when respect was lacking, and now that, you know, it sounds like your parents have really changed in their marriage, that you know, okay, wait a minute. I definitely want this when I get married in the future. You want
right.
respect.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And even like, you know, realizing the roles, like the husband's role, you know, in the marriage, and even the wife's role to submit and things like that. Like that all goes.
Ooh, that's like a bad word in some places, you know.
Yeah.
Submit for a while.
I don't like that word myself. So.
What? All right. Now, Lisa, how old are you?
22.
All right. I just want to make sure because you tell me that your voice, you people think you're like a little girl, but you sound mature.
How do I sound? Do I sound like a kid?
No, you sound like a 14, 15. No, I'm just kidding. No, you sound like a 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Awesome. A millennial.
Young adult.
Absolutely. Young adult. Mm-hmm. Tiffany said young adult. So, but Lisa, thank you so much. I really think it was a great time. It was. I'm going to post this stuff on Facebook. We had a blast with you guys, and we look forward to doing it again. Just meeting with a group of singles and stuff. And one of the things we're going to do a little bit closer to the holidays is have a segment just for singles, because I know singles, especially during the holiday season, start feeling like, well, I wish I had somebody, or, you know, they're feeling kind of lonely. But we don't want to compromise, right? And something I shared with you guys last night, and I believe it, Natasha called earlier, she was there as well, and I talked to Tiffany all the time. I know many of you, especially women, if you wanted to already, would probably be married or in a serious relationship. But the reason you're not is because you're not willing to compromise.
Right.
And I think the fear came up is like, well, maybe what if my standard is too high? Like, because I'm not willing to compromise, I'm going to end up by myself. And so that came up. That was a real conversation. And I think what you realized from all that is, no, wait a minute. There's some things you should never compromise with.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, I definitely appreciated what you talked about last night. As you know, there are some things to one person that they would never compromise on. But to you, it's something that, you know, you could live with or without, you know. And I was talking to my mom about this, and she said the same thing. She's like, you know, when you start off dating, you know, you have this list, but if it's not written down on your heart or, you know, somewhere where you could see it, you know, those things are definitely can change, you know. Mm.
That's true. That's good advice. Good advice. All right. Well, Lisa, thank you so much. We appreciate you listening, getting up at 8:30 in the morning to listen to our show and picking up the phone and talking to us. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. And our last call of the show is going to be Gail calling in from New Jersey. Gail, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. We only have a few minutes left, so I really do want to apologize in advance if we need to, you know, cut you off at some point.
Okay. I was speaking, and hearing you, like, saying that we shouldn't have divorces.
Okay.
I was in a place of worship at one time, and they didn't believe in divorces. I had a bad marriage. Mm-hmm. It was a marriage I knew God didn't put together, but I wasn't aware of it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they say man should not be alone, but when they say man, I believe that's woman also. And I believe that God wants his children to have good marriages.
Sure.
That were made by him and for him. And I don't believe, like, young people, you know, 28, 27, they're in a bad relationship, they should depart from that spouse or something.
So you're saying they should?
For years by themselves, you
know?
You
think they should?
Oh,
I got you. I hear you. Well, here's what we were saying, Gail, and based on, I think you must have been started listening when we were sharing that scripture from 1 Corinthians 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to just read that again. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 says, to the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord, right? So Paul is saying, this is not me, this is the Lord saying this. It says, a wife must not separate from a husband, but if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and a husband must not divorce his wife. So
right.
Based on
okay.
that passage, you can't. I mean, and if you separate or you get divorced, you're staying by yourself. So
okay.
If someone, it doesn't matter how young they are, if they make an adult decision, because as far as I know, it's only an adult that makes the decision to get married, right? We don't have children in this country getting married.
Okay, true. Okay, but Satan comes as a light, you know,
sure.
And he's very deceptive, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just can't understand why, okay, and he's going to send you somebody that's not of him, Satan, right?
Okay.
And that's not, and God, he separates the wheat from the tare of the mm-hmm. church, in the church, and we're the church. So I would believe he would separate the wheat from the tare anywhere.
Sure.
I mean, out of your household, anything that's not like him. Like, I always pray and ask, not just for myself alone, for the brothers in Christ also,
okay.
female and male, that anything is not like you, Lord, take it
away.
From our lives.
Okay.
And I know God has done that in my life, you know,
so you were married.
And I believe he will, if you wait on him, you make mistakes. When I got married, he came as a light. Like I said, Satan came as a light.
You're saying, you're, in your case,
I don't believe God put that together. So,
Gail,
I know he doesn't want me to be by myself forever, and I desire a husband.
So let me get this clear,
Gail,
listen. I want to get this clear because we're running out of time here. You marry, let's say, a sheep in a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? You felt like he came as a light, but he was not at all who you thought he was, and you ended up getting divorced. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, he died.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He did. He got. Well, he was very abusive to me. And I was, he was very abusive, and he fought me and everything. And someone fought him and killed him.
Oh, wow.
They couldn't stop his artery, his bleeding, and he bled to death, you know. Wow. He didn't want to see me.
But here's Gail.
He didn't want to see me when his sister asked it, and he's on his dying bed, did he want to me to come up there? He didn't want to see me.
Okay, but here's he died. This doesn't mm-hmm. apply to you. If he died, the Bible said until death.
I know, it didn't, but I still...
But God took care of it.
Hmm?
God took care of it. I mean,
I know,
unfortunately, I'm not saying that he got what he needed, but you're free if you meet someone tomorrow and you decide to get married, that's your choice. You wouldn't be committing a sin. You lost your husband.
Exactly. I just believe waiting on the Lord, trusting in Him, and letting Him lead and guide you.
Amen.
And you won't make mistakes. It won't be any mistakes made. You wait on the Lord. He's not going to send you any junk.
But you can make a mistake, and God can fix it, right?
As junk, He made us from
Amen.
Him.
Amen. Amen. Well, Gail, now you're preaching.
Right?
Listen, unfortunately, we are out of time. But thank you. Great conversation. We really appreciate it. Very tragic, but I think at the same time, God has provided in your life so that if you wanted to in the future to remarry, you can.
Right. If God wants me to, His
Amen.
Will.
Amen. Amen. Well,
right?
Gail,
His will for everything. You just trust in God and let go and let God.
There you go. Amen, Gail. We thank you so much. We appreciate
thank you.
Thank you. Listening.
And I love listening to your show, too. And I say God bless you. And thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Gail.
Take care. And with that, that's the end of this week's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you check out our Facebook page. If you have any comments or questions, go to Facebook.com, Marriage Beyond the Vows.
We're going to post that list for you there on our Facebook page. You could also go to PraisePhilly.com to encourage your friends to listen to our archive shows.
All right. And with that, we want to say much love to our in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.